Hello everyone, a very warm welcome to Road to Cheltenham. Yes, emphasis on all three words. Now, it was an exciting but at times frustrating weekend, and so there's lots to discuss. To that end, let's go over to County Kildare and join Ruby Walsh. Ruby, how are you?
I'm great, Lydia, and yourself?
I am fine, thank you. What did you think of the weekend? Were you a little bit frustrated or were you mostly excited? What was it?
Probably a bit of both, Lydia. I think the one that most frustrated me most was the fog in Punchestown. It was unfortunate we couldn't get to see much of the John Durkin, and the rest of the card had to be abandoned. I think that was the biggest frustration for me. Obviously, it was disappointing not getting to see Altier, but I can understand Nicky Henderson's reasons for not running him. I can see both sides of that coin, but I thought there were some good performances when all was said and done, and to me, you have to watch what's on rather than worry about what you're missing.
Okay, well, we're going to watch what's on and we're going to throw ahead to what might happen over the rest of the season. It's always an important weekend, the first weekend in December, for the two-mile chasing division. So we're going to start with the reigning Queen Mother champion chase winner, Politolog, and his return on Saturday in the Betfair Tingle Creek.
Yeah, and it was a good performance, I thought. Booked out with Rouge Vif. You obviously had a little bit of the unknown with Grenadine and an Irish challenger as well. But to be fair to Politolog, he jumped extremely well. He said he stalled out. He didn't miss a beat. Maybe got a bit close to the second last. But other than that, he was a good winner. And I think he was a deserved winner. And as we watched the rest of the performances coming along, I think if you own Politolog like the Hales family do, if you train him like Paul Nicholls does, you're entitled to think you're the one holding the aces for the champion chase. You've gone and done it in a grade one. You're the reigning champion. You've been overlooked because everyone thinks you got lucky last March. But to be fair to the horse, he's put two big runs back to back now.
And Paul Nicholls seems to be really clear that he feels he's got the key to him now. Since the horse had a physical problem in the Tingle Creek last season, they've tweaked his training regime a little bit. They're giving him longer breaks between his races, and they've also dropped the hood and riding him more assertively.
Yeah, all those things added together. I mean, it takes time to figure out horses. Some horses more so than others. And, you know, this fella had a really big reputation, and they seem to have figured out how to maximise his potential. And it's let him gallop over 2 miles rather than trying to settle him over further.
We can have a look at him galloping over 2 miles at Cheltenham at the end of last season and maybe explain how he dominated the race, the mechanics of it.
Well, he dominated it, Lydia, because obviously Altior didn't run, Shaq and Pursuit got a stone bruise, and for whatever reason, Defi Desai didn't bring his best form to the table. I mean, Defi Desai had beaten Politolog in the previous Tingle Creek, so look, the race sort of fell apart. So Royal has gone back over hurdles, Dynamite Dollars and Bundoran, I just don't know, are they real grade one horses? So he jumped out pretty much like he did in the Tingle Creek. He jumped really well, he dominated from the front, and he's outstayed them. But at times people forget that 2 milers have to stay as well, and the best 2 milers are strong stayers at that trip. They're not flashy speed horses. They're able to maintain a high cruising speed and gallop the others into the ground at 2 miles rather than 3 1/4.
In some ways, there's some similarities between him and Altior. They've been going for about the same time, and they're also strong stayers at the trip.
They are, but I think when you look back through champion chasers of years gone by, Viking Flagship, Moscow Flyer, Masterminded, list them all out. They were all really strong stayers. Some had more of a turn of foot. Maybe Sprinter Sacra looked like a faster horse maybe than some of the others, but a lot of them were horses with a lot of pace and a lot of stamina. And that looks like what Politolog seems to have.
You had me at Viking Flagship. Politolog, is he setting the standard then as we stand in this division?
Yes, on form he most certainly is. We haven't seen Altior. Defi Desai is blowing out. Shaq and Pursuit won at Cork, but he won. That's all he did. I think Politolog is setting the standard, and maybe a little bit like Dodging Bullets a few years ago, we're all overlooking him, looking for something else when the obvious one is staring us in the face.
You mentioned Shaq and Pursuit. He was back in action at the same weekend, the day after at Cork in the Hilly Way.
Yeah, he won, but I don't think he blew anybody away. Jingle, Cash Back and Durasso I thought it was a rusty-ish performance from Shaquem Pourceau. He shortened up at the last fence with a circuit to go. His jumping in the back straight was much better. When he got in close, he was very quick, wasn't losing any ground on the horses in front of him. But he does there at the fourth last. Watch how Cashback gets away from him. Again here at the third last, loses a little bit of ground. Now ultimately, he gets on top and he wins well, jumps the last. Okay, a little bit high, crash and fall from Cashback, brings down Jingle. Thankfully, they were all okay, but it was an okay performance, Lydia. It didn't blow me away. All right, he got beat first time up last year in Leopardstown behind a Plutar. But I think on that performance, he has to improve a lot. And we'll see an awful lot more at Christmas.
Is that why he was there? The fact he got beaten over Christmas last season?
I'd say so, yeah, definitely. I mean, that's a grade two. It was a good introduction for him. And he's ready for a grade one now. And as Patrick Mullen said in an article yesterday, he's not really going to have an excuse come Christmas time this year.
OK, interesting. Let's have a look at how he shapes up over the same course and distance with the mare Mount Ida. Just in terms of getting a feel of how the Shaquem Pourceau race was run.
Yeah, I've watched it back and I know you think that Shaquem Pourceau's race was run a good bit stronger than Mount Ida's and therefore that's why he didn't finish as strong. But Mount Ida's 134 rated hurdler. A Lauer be £10 better as a chaser. That's 144. Shaquem Pourceau is going to have to run in the mid-160s to win a champion chase, at least in the mid-160s. So I think that his race should be run at a stronger pace. And as was slightly, they started together. By the time we get to the second fence, Jingle is a couple of lengths in front. Third fence, they've extended the advantage, but not very much. Jingle is jumping the fourth fence there. The mares are behind. By the time we get to the third last, they're a bit behind, but not massively. You wouldn't expect them to be any closer. Jumping the last, they've caught up a bit, and by the line, Mount Ida has really caught up with Shaquem Pourceau. He's crossing the line right now. She's just coming to it now. That's not far enough in my book. I know you think that the hilly way was run at a stronger pace and therefore Shaquem Pourceau tired on his first run. I'd be hoping he'd be finishing a good bit further in front of Mount Ida myself.
I think that's perfectly fair. I just think that you might think that race was less of a substantial stepping stone than it actually probably will prove to be. In short, I think that there could be quite a bit of improvement as a result of that race. And so that Willie Mullins' plan to get the horse absolutely spot on for Christmas would have been helped by that particular workout.
I hope you're right, because I think it'll have to be.
How about Cashback, though? That's three falls in a row.
Yeah, obviously, fell at the last when tired in Cheltenham, tipped up at the first in Nace, and he just overjumped and then fell again at the last. For a horse that was a really sound jumper, he just seems to have lost it a bit, and I think it's back to the drawing board with him. I was in Willie's twice this week. I haven't seen him, but I haven't heard any report that he's not okay, but it's definitely back to the drawing board a little bit with him.
And slight tangent about Mount Ida herself. There's a strong mares programme. We've got a new mares chase at the Cheltenham Festival. Is that anything? Would she be at all on your radar for a step up in trip like that?
Possibly, but she was a good bit behind Yukon Lil on her debut over fences in Cork 2 weeks ago. There's a strong programme in Ireland for mares novice chasers, and then it's a weak enough programme for open mares. Obviously, the introduction of that new mares chase. But that's an open race where you could run into last year's novices. Willie has a couple of them, not novices even, but the likes of Benny the Jew, Sal Soretta, Ellie May. Willie has plenty of experienced mares. There's just not a great number of mares chases for them in Ireland, open mares chases, but there's quite a few mares novice chases and a real good mares novice programme in Ireland.
OK, back on point, let's talk about Min, because he obviously has had a propensity to drop down to 2 miles. We saw him, of course, on Sunday, and that was really quite informative, I thought. I don't know about you, Ruby. Maybe there might be more from last season in the where we saw him win the Dublin Chase.
Yeah, I'd say so. The snippets we could see, though, and from listening to Patrick Mullins and talking to him after the race, and just judging by his eyes and the humour he was in, I'd say Min really impressed them.
Unless he's a really good actor, Ruby. I don't know. I mean, he could be telling us absolutely anything.
I just don't think you can get that sort of adrenaline through acting. You could when he immediately got off the horse, that definitely wasn't acting.
OK, well, let's have a look at what Min and Shaq and Pessoir achieved when they raced in the Dublin Chase last season. We were going on in the last series of Road to Cheltenham about how impressed we were with this particular performance, and we contrasted it with the Arkle over the same course and distance, the Irish Arkle on the right-hand side, which was won by Notebook.
Yeah, it was, but look, Notebook and Shaq and Pessoir will probably line up at Dublin, at Leopardstown on the 27th, I think the 2 mile chase is. We thought at the time this was strong performance, and we've no reason to disbelieve that that's not strong form. It's just what's happened in the 9 months in between. Like Notebook and Cashback, we thought would add a lot of pace to the Arkle, which they did. Yes, Min and Ornua still managed to be in front of them all the way as open chasers versus novices. Now, I do still think that that is strong form, but will Notebook or Notebook's connections be running scared of what they saw in Cork last Sunday heading to Christmas? I doubt it very much. We thought it on the day, Lydia, that this was rock solid form. I suppose when the Arkle played out in Cheltenham, Cashback and Notebook didn't figure. But you can see how far they were behind Min and Shaq and Pessoir and Leopardstown, and maybe we should have paid more note of that on the day, how far behind they were of the open horses when they got to Cheltenham.
And thinking about Min this season, do you think we're going to be seeing him over 2.5 miles and further rather than 2.5 miles and shorter?
I don't. I think Willie is pretty much a creature of habit, as Patrick has said as well. Will he run at Christmas? I don't know. I think the ones you could see out of the John Durkin running at Christmas are probably Mellon, Tornado Flyer, Alaho, whereas Min, I'd say, will stick to the same path he trod last year, which would be go from the John Durkin to the Dublin Racing Festival, Cheltenham. Now, hopefully then, he would have the Melling chase to come after that in Aintree, which he didn't get last season, which was the plan, and which he won the year before. So that would be 4 runs for Min, 4 grade 1s, and that would be a pretty good season if he could bang on the door in all of those.
OK, so he's going to maraud into the 2 mile division potentially in February. We've also got Altior, of course, and frustratingly, we didn't see him on Saturday. But let's talk about where he fits in the division at the moment and take him forward. We'll start with his 2019 Queen Mother Champion Chase success. And there was a point where you got worried.
Well, there was a point. I was worried all the way on Min behind him. But yeah, look, he lunged at the water and landed on his hind end. Min did the same behind him, actually, for whatever reason. Look, this was a really tactical affair. One I thought wouldn't suit Altior. That's why I rode Min the way I rode him, much to your distaste, I think.
Let
would be
it
the
lie.
Best way of putting it. But Altior, Altior outstayed him. So Royal arrived up on his inside running away, but Altior just outstays them. Politolog ran a blinder with the hood on, ridden with restraint. So who knows what he will do without the hood, ridden aggressively. But look, Altior did what Altior does. He won, he outstayed them. It was a race that wasn't run to suit him, and he's won it. But that was in 2019, and even I know 2019 is a long time ago now.
I thought you said you weren't bothered about what I said about Min. You're clearly bothered. Right, let's have a look at the game spirit, shall we, and what happened in the game spirit. Because obviously, Altior last season, we know all about this, ran against Surname, and then, you know, that was a more exerting race than was necessarily believed to be. And it ended up not being able to get back to the race course until February for the game spirit.
I think that was proved for both horses, Lydia, not just Altior. Surname was bitterly disappointed in the King George. I think Ascot had an effect on both. But when you watch this race this day, there was no stage I thought Altior was going to win until halfway up the running. I thought Sorreal was going to win here. Dynamite Dollars ran an absolute blinder. But like Altior does, all of a sudden, from not looking like the winner, it's all over. That's just what Altior does. And look, the vibes coming from Seven Barrows are still strong. Yeah, he's a bit older. They're minding him a bit more. They're going to go to Kenton at Christmas. Where they'll go then, probably back there. Maybe Shishkin will come into the fold and he'll want to go there. So what happens with Altior, who knows? But if Nicky turns up on the day with him and he runs, we've no reason to disbelieve that he won't be as good as he was.
I thought he was better in defeat, actually, at Ascot. You know, if we're just going to sort of look at the performances on figures, than it needed to be to win the game spirit. I think it was a far tougher race against Surname, assignment, than the defeat of So Royal there. So, you know, twice I've seen Altior last season, it's really substantial form.
Yeah, it is substantial form. And we didn't get to see him in Cheltenham, which was his ultimate aim, but who knows? I think Altair not running in Sandown last week bothered you a lot more than it did me, Lydia.
I was asking questions about the difference between the reasons. I was trying to get to the bottom of exactly why Altair wasn't running and the differences between the reasons given and the facts at hand, such as the ground and the contrast of the bullishness during the week and then the protectiveness on the day. You know, there were questions being asked. It was a platform to on which to answer questions. You know, it's not a one-way street, it's a two-way street. So that was all. Let's have a look at Min, Notebook and a Plutar, because they are potential players yet in this division.
They are. I do think a Plutar is definitely better at 2.5 than he is at 2, but he did win at 2 miles last Christmas in Leopardstown. I think Notebook is the unknown. He was good in Leopardstown a couple of occasions last year, but he does tend to jump to his right. And yeah, I know what I've said already. Jacques Bourgeois has to improve from his run in Cork for Christmas time. And I think Christmas will be a cracking race in Leopardstown. I think you'll have some decent horses in it. That's the betting for the champion chase.
No other betting available at this stage for the other.
One is Politlock.
No other betting available for the other key 2 mile chases over Christmas, mainly because, you know, I suppose we don't really know what's actually going to turn up.
No, we don't. But still, when you look at the betting that's in front of us for the champion chase, you'd have to think Politlock could be the overpriced one.
Okay, let's move on to social media comments, shall we? And we're going to start with the first one, which is about the low sun, which was one of the frustrations at Aintree on Saturday. Steve Plant says, what a brilliant race the many clouds could have been. Why aren't the big chases run at the beginning of these cards at this time of year? Missing a few hurdles out isn't ideal, but it's less of an issue than in the other discipline. What's your take, Ruby?
I agree with Steve in a lot of what he says there. The chases have always, beginner's chases, novice chases, handicap chases, have always been run first on the card in Thurles to avoid the low sun. Try and run them when the sun is at its highest in the winter time before 1 p.m. But I think when you get to big races on a Saturday, it becomes a commercial issue. It's to do with sponsorship, it's to do with terrestrial television, etc., etc. How do you solve the problem? I couldn't tell you. People will say, oh, this was never an issue years ago. It wasn't, but they didn't race an entry in November and December years ago either. They only raced there in April. You know, Cheltenham has increased its meetings over the years as well. There wasn't the amount of racing at those tracks that we now have, and it's become more of an issue. It only hits Sandown in one spot, which can often be the pond fence. So people, it doesn't make as big an issue of it because of the angle of Sandown. I don't know. Maybe when they were building an entry, they could have built it a different way.
That's a good point about the expansion of the fixture list and why that might have changed things. That's a factor that I hadn't considered before. But yeah, you're right. It's to do with commercial considerations and terrestrial television about when the big races of the day are run. You know, that is the case. So, you know, I suppose the sport has got to decide which is more important, running the race properly, inverted commas, or sticking with the status quo, because that's the best way that we've agreed commercially.
I don't know either, but I suppose when you think back, when the BBC televised on a Saturday, they always took the first three races very early in grandstand. Mm-hmm. So it was 12:30, 1:30, 1, whereas the commercial partners we have now, ITV and Channel 4 before them, prefer to race later in the afternoon. So I don't know what the answer is.
Well, I think a discussion on the subject is usually the answer. That's usually helpful. Let's move on to the next bit of social media show. It's about Faheen. This is from Nigel Spencer. Now, and I'm going to create a new rule for Roger Cheltenham after this. Nigel has to say, hi Ruby, can I ask how Faheen is doing? And are we likely to see him soon after his recent little problem? Willie Mullins said in his SportingLife.com stable tour that Faheen had a little setback. Now, I'm going to draw a line under asking Ruby about the well-being of specific Willie Mullins horses. You know, this is a forum for more interesting, more in-depth questions than that. So that's it. Guys, that's it. After the Faheen question, we're not going to... Can you just ask Ruby about X? That's not going to happen again. Ruby, can you just tell me about Faheen?
Faheen did have a little setback and he was in great form before it. You won't see him at Christmas. Hopefully he'll be showing the same spark again when his preparation is wound up and we'll see him in the new year with a bit of luck. But he will be a year older, and when you come back to racing in January, February, that time of year, you're taking on real race fit but rivals, so finding an easy option for him won't be that simple either.
So that's quite a badly timed little setback for Heen, for Heen in terms of moving out of novice company at the age he is in against the big league?
Oh, it is. I mean, all the easier targets, I suppose, that people want to have with horses early in the season have gone by. They had the second season novice chases, the Clonmel Isle, those sort of races. They've all run. You're into competition from here on, so it's not going to be easy for him.
Okay, and the last question in this section involves Magic Tricks. Tom Barclay says he looks smart at Navan on Saturday. He's well related and the race has thrown up a decent horse or two in the past. Can Ruby remember who he sat on in this in 2013 and might the bookies have missed a trick going 33s for the Supreme?
I think I rode Vatour and have the bookies missed the trick? I don't know. Magic Tricks was very good. He was well touted. He's a really good pedigree. He was well fancied. But the last good novice connections had of this standard owner, trainer, jockey combination was Andy Dufresne as a novice, and he didn't go to Cheltenham. So people in racing are creatures of habit. So will this fella end up in Cheltenham? Who knows? Is he a horse that they're looking at a long-term future with? Maybe more so, but he hit the line very strong in Navan. He beat a horse called Great Bear. It was a very good performance and he was well fancied on the day.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what he does for the rest of the season. Let's have a look at some other novice hurdlers, shall we? Let's start with Stargate, who ran at Sandown on the Friday. Now, this is a race that divided opinion. There were just the three runners. Some people were really taken with the performance of Stargate and others were sort of picking holes in it. What did you think?
I love the way horses finish. So, yeah, it was a three-runner race, but Valerez, is that how we're going to pronounce it? That's how I'm going to attempt to pronounce it anyway, in the Simon Muneer Isaac Suede colours. He has a high enough rating of 135. Sending Love is making the running. They didn't go quick, but the ground was on the slow side in Sandown. I loved the way Stargate jumped. I loved the way he quickened. And I really liked from after the last, when he got a reminder, how he attacked the hill and galloped every step of the way to the line. Not very many horses go faster from the back of the last to the winning post in Sandown. And for my money, he did.
OK, so you like him. How about Cape Gentleman? We saw him this week at Punchestown. And that's for Emmett Mullins. Brian Hayes on board. Hurdles debut over 2.5 miles.
Yeah, huge rating on the flat, rated 96, won the Irish Cesarevich. You'd love the way he jumped the first couple of hurdles. He's getting a lead. He's tucked in on the inside. Good economical way of jumping fast through the air. Friends hurdle in front of the stands, perfect. One down the hill away from the stands, gets in close, but he's high, he's travelling well, misses this, and you're thinking, oh, what'll he do with the next hurdle? He jumped the next two really well, pops the last, and Brian Hayes goes to the line doing his best impression of Paul Carberry, winning snugly on the bridle. You couldn't ask for any more, but he's a 96 red, a flat horse who started off really well.
You feel he should have some sort of horn gesture. It's a da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know. I am doing this really easily, guys. How about Master McShay, this was a great story, wasn't it?
It was a great story, and I suppose I was looking at it from a form point of view. Master McShane, we had seen in Cork a couple of weeks ago, coming down the straight with Appreciated, but this was a taken performance. He travelled strongly, he jumped really well, big field. William Mullins, Henry de Bromhead, they're all represented. JP McManus had a runner, but there's only one horse from a long way out. Pings the second last, gallops down to the last, really good jump, and gallops to the line. Personally, I think it's what it did for Appreciate His Form as much as what it did for Master McShane.
Exactly. So we thought we'd remind everybody of what he did against Appreciate It when he was 50-1. So it's nice to see a bit of substance to that.
It is. It definitely is. And I think, actually, from that first Cork race that Appreciated won, Mayor Peter Sam Curling's even, has come out and won in Clonmel since as well.
OK, right. So they're developing form lines. We're at a very early stage, aren't we, with the novice hurdlers?
We are, but I don't know. Is now you get a bit of value about novice hurdlers. He looks to be the 2.5 mile novice hurdler, and Willie Mullins is he potentially value for a Ballymore? You might see him in Navan next week. There's a 2.5 mile novice hurdle. You'll probably see him in January in Naas and the Lawlers novices hurdle. So, look, if you're an anti-post player, do you want to jump in now? To me, he looks a Ballymore horse.
OK, interesting. Lots of water to go under the bridge now. We're going to move on to novice chasers. And first of all, we're going to pick out All Mankind against Polisolog. And first of all, we're going to look at it from a how the race was run point of view. And Ruby will take us through the comparison over the course and distance between the Henry VIII novices chase on the left and the Tingle Creek on the right.
Yeah, but I think they're two very different horses too, Lydia. All Mankind is a free-going horse, whereas Politolog is much more relaxed than he was. And he gets to the first just in front and the second of All Mankind. But whereas Politolog relaxed up the hill, All Mankind raced down it and gets a little bit in front of the downhill fence. But now Politolog is back in front again at the railways. By the time they come out of the railways, Politolog was still in front, over two out. He was still in front, and at the last fence, it was a good performance. I would always have expected the open horses to run faster than the novices. It doesn't always happen in the Henry VIII and Tingle Creek, but I thought there were two good performances, and I think with All Mankind being a four-year-old, it makes it an even better performance.
Yes, I agree. Lots of things to sort of think about there. So there was £11 difference in the weight carried, Politolog carrying £11 more. As you say, there is a precedent for the Henry VIII being quicker than the Tingle Creek, and it doesn't necessarily mean that the winner of the Henry VIII is Arkell. It does mark that the winner out, tends to mark the winner out to be a very good horse. Of course, four-year-olds don't have a allowance against older novices from the end of February onwards over here.
No, they don't, and that obviously brings horses closer together. And it is a difficult season though for horses when they go from four into five, especially horses that have been juvenile hurdlers. Dan Skelton has chosen to go chasing with All Mankind, and he's reaping the benefits of it. But he's a free-going horse, and he's not the most straightforward horse in the world to ride.
You think he's got a bit better though in terms of specifically that, the free-going element?
A bit, yeah. I think fences being a bit bigger in front of him have slowed him down a little bit, but he did jump a bit to his left there, and he's still in a hurry to do things, and I think he has a bit to learn.
You've got a fascinating comparison to make between how Harry Skelton, who was on board both All Mankind and Politolog, how he rode the two horses, and specifically in terms of riding techniques. So tell me about this.
It's to do with jumping, actually, and it started, I think, watching it from the fence down the hill when both horses meet on pretty much the same stride. Watch the power Politolog has. He gets a bit higher than All Mankind does. All Mankind kind of lurches out to his left, and then Harry adapts. Now watch Harry's hands. He's pulling All Mankind back and using his legs. He's trying to create contact and impulsion at the same time. Watch his knees coming out on All Mankind. No movement on Politolog. Again, at the last fence in the railways, his hands are up, he's squeezing forward with his legs. He's having to make way more effort on All Mankind than he is Politolog. And at the second last fence, where he just rode Politolog at it, he took All Mankind back. Now, it's great riding on both sides of the coin, but to me, watching it was the effort he had to put into riding All Mankind, the organisation to create contact with the reins from his mouth to his hands, to try and put All Mankind's weight on his hocks, to keep his hind end underneath him, to create power. He doesn't need to create power on Politolog. Politolog naturally has it, but he's all the time trying to create it on All Mankind. And I think with trappier, more downhill fences at somewhere like Cheltenham, he's going to be a pretty difficult ride.
Interesting. Now, can horses adapt and learn? I mean, that was only his second novice chase start. I mean, presumably it's part of the educative process.
Of course they can, and he's probably no better stable to learn it than where he is, but he will also have to learn through his style of racing. When he starts to relax, he will be more balanced, but whereas he races keenly, he's always has his weight on his front end out on his head, whereas he needs to put a bit more weight on his hind end to give him more power to jump.
Dan Skelton was also quite keen to say he's not necessarily interested in the Arkell. He wasn't dismissing it at all, but you know, the next step in his mind was the Kingmaker at Warwick. I suppose he might be an ideal type of horse for Aintree as well, maybe?
Yeah, he could be. He could be an ideal, you know, Aintree, more level track, mightn't test his stamina. I know Sandown's a stiff track, but it is just shy of 2 miles now. It's 1 mile, 7.5 or whatever it is, and I think every yard counts when you're talking about stamina. But look, the Kingmaker would be a good test. Five fences across the side in Warwick, they take plenty of jumping.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a real test of jumping. Let's move on to some other novice chasers. Conflated won at the weekend. The big getaway was ranged against him. What did you make of the pair of them?
I thought it was a good performance from Conflated. I was disappointed with the big getaway. He jumped well, but I thought at times he jumped a bit high. But Conflated had him beat up a stick, and I was disappointed with the way the big getaway stopped ultimately in the straight. I would like to see him a little bit lower through the air. Some people think it's beautiful. I think the higher you go, the more energy you're wasting. But, you know, Conflator went the inside, the big getaway went the outside, gets in close to that one. I don't know. Look, the big getaway got beaten in a maiden hurdle last year and in a bumper, but I think when the screw was turned here, Conflator just absolutely powered away from him. And the big getaway, maybe we'll see him at Christmas. I think Opposites Attract runs on to be second, which is a reasonable enough yardstick. So I think it was a good performance from the winner.
Yes, so do I. I mean, Opposites Attract was completely differently ridden compared to Conflator particularly, and the big getaway really patiently ridden and came through to pick up the pieces late. Conflator had previously been beaten by Asterion Falange and by Darva Star. So again, this is a developing form line.
It is, and, you know, there are two classy novices, both at Punchestown, so maybe going left-handed at a much stiffer track like Navan, maybe played to Conflator's strengths.
Could the big getaway not have been fit enough? I mean, you know, we've seen Chacun Bossoir come out because there might be some concern about how ready he would be first time out. So thinking about Christmas, we've seen Burroughs Saint, you know, not finish off his race so well during the week last week. You know, could it be fitness with the big getaway?
Possibly, but the big getaway should, or does, or did have the same amount of work done as Asterion Falange, as Black Bow, as Janadil, as
Monkfish,
Enerjamin, as all the other beginners chasers. So Willie Mullins is the one, so why was he any different to the rest of them?
Is he stuffier?
He could be. He could well be. He's a big horse. He took a run last year. I'd be disappointed.
Okay. Eclat de Rire, what did you make of him?
A 3 mile beginner's chase in Punchestown. He's a very inexperienced horse the other day. Rachel Blackmore rode him. I love the way he jumped, especially at these two fences up the side, where he completely outjumps the horse of Gordon's on his inside. You know, like, that's beautiful to watch, how low he is through the air, really quick, lands galloping. It was a really taken performance. What kind of horse he ultimately becomes, only time will tell. But he's definitely a horse going the right direction.
And the last one I'm going to throw at you is Andy Dufresne, who won the Clarin Davis Grade 3.
Didn't impress me. Three-runner race, embittered in the blue cap, ultimately chases him home. He jumped really well on the whole. He settled nicely in front for a horse that can at times race a little keenly. He had won a maiden hurdle at Navan as well. There was nothing. There was everything to like about Andy Dufresne until the last sort of furlong and a half, and it then looks like it's hard work for him. I mean, there was no reason for this race on form to turn into the slog that it did for Andy Dufresne, and I'm not sure. He didn't blow me away, and I doubt a Blue Connection's away either. I'd say Mark Walsh looked to me from the back of the second last fence like he was looking for the winning post. He has to get really serious with Andy Dufresne, and he scrambles home. I think Conflator was more impressive and hit the line stronger. This lad just didn't do it for me, Lydia.
Fair enough. This is what we can expect over the Christmas period from the key novice chases, and this is really when we're going to get, you know, what various strands of form mean.
Yeah, look, the Ascot before Christmas, I think in England the programme's a little bit easier. The distance-wise, whereas in Ireland with the 2 miles and the 2-3 race in Limerick and Leopardstown, both on the same day, that can kind of split horses, and it can create a match somewhere else. But there's definitely an option in Ireland for horses to miss each other at Christmas.
Okay, well, we're looking forward to all of that action, and we'll be talking about it in Road to Cheltenham in the new year. Let's move on. It's time for the poll results. What can I say, Ruby? 3-0. Again, you have won. Here, let's have a look at it. The question was, is Time Hill the leading contender for the Paddy Power Stayers Hurdle? And, you know, they agree with you.
You said the first week that I was president and then I was re-elected, but I think when you get a third term, you start to become like a dictator rather than an elected president. So I kind of hope I'm going to lose this one.
And now I'm going to, if you do lose the next one, I'm going to think you've thrown it, aren't I?
Well, anything not to be called a dictator.
Well, I mean, I can help you here because we can go back to the week 2 poll, and that involved the big breakaway. Now, do you remember that? The question that we asked back then?
I do.
does the big breakaway have the right attributes for the Ladbrokes Quartet style novices chase? And I'm just not just talking to you, I'm talking about the landslide who voted in favour of that. This is the big breakaway at Exeter last week.
Yeah, I think he got mugged. He didn't. I don't think it. I know he did. I thought Sean Bone was brilliant on the runner-up. The big breakaway, a little bit like the big getaway, jumps plenty high. Had a good look at the water jump. He had a look away from the stands in Cheltenham the day we saw him as well. And to me, he's completely not suited by being almost on his own in front. He's crying out for headgear. I just think slap a pair of cheek pieces on him and he'll still win the.
Do you think they'll go that early with cheek pieces?
Tempted if he goes there. Pardon, Lydia?
Will they go, sorry to interrupt, Ruby, do you think they'll go that early with cheek pieces? It's quite early in his career.
I think he needs them. I think maybe a more competitive race. Kempton might be a more competitive race, but he got robbed there by Sean Bone, who cleverly stayed behind him, didn't take him on, was watching what was going on in front of him all the race and had one go at him. That's what you call race riding. But I just think that the big breakaway needs something to make him concentrate and be more enthusiastic than he is.
In all seriousness as well, I think it was great that the Tizards ran the big breakaway at Exeter in a race that had got some decent prize money the course had put on to attract horses like that. And I don't think it reflects badly at all that the horse, as you say, got mugged. They've got more experience into the horse. They've learned plenty.
I think they learned a lot. I think they learned they will have been watching it too. And I think they'll have learned a lot as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think in the end it'll turn out to be a positive. Right, let's move on to the viewer question, shall we? This comes from Nigel Brown. Take it away, Nigel.
Good evening, Lydia. Good evening, Ruby. Is it time that we start to consider a selection criteria for the Grade 1 races at the Cheltenham Festival? A win that you're in, you must compete in certain races, finishing the top three to ensure that the cream always rises to the top for the festival. Missing Grade 1s throughout the season is just not good for the racing public, it's not good for the levy, it's not a good image for the sport. We need to do something to encourage the trainers to run their horses throughout the season.
Oh look, it's not just me who's bothered about this issue, Ruby. What did you make of that then?
I can see the merits in the question, but I think where you need a selection process or a win in your in process is when you have too many horses and you're trying to avoid a ballot. Not when you're actually trying to get horses to fill up a race, to run a race. So maybe a qualification whereby you must run a certain amount of times. But then again, what horses would we have missed out on in the past? See, you then didn't run very often. And I'm just trying to think of a couple of more. I'm sure there are plenty more examples.
Duvan?
Would Album Photo have qualified for the Gold Cup? Duvan? There are loads of horses. So I understand the concept, but it's the wrong way around. It's a win and you're in process when you're trying to avoid a ballot, not trying to create horses to run.
Yeah, I understand why this idea has been put forward, and other people have mentioned it to me on Twitter. And I think there is a frustration that good races along the course of the season are not being supported, and that maybe Cheltenham has become, Dan Skelton called it a monster, didn't he, in the paper, the Racing Post this week, and that maybe there's an over focus on that particular festival. So I understand what people are getting at, but what we want to see is the best horses running in all of the races. And if the title holder at Cheltenham, say, has a setback during the course of the year but is ready for following March, do we say no, sorry, I know you're ready to run in the Queen Mother Champion Chase or the Gold Cup or whatever it is, but I'm afraid you can't because you haven't qualified en route, or even if it was 2 years ago?
Yeah, I agree, but I think the way our season's gone, the way the climate is going, the way the weather is going, we're getting much drier ground in the autumn and much slower ground in the spring than we used to get. So to get a prep into a horse in the autumn is becoming more difficult for trainers. Horses are starting later into the winter, and the season is getting ultimately shorter because it still finishes after Aintree or after Punchestown. It still ends in April when the ground is still plenty slow. So I don't know, throwing a bigger question out there. Does everything need to move back a little bit to create more time? And that's just watching the climate change.
I think your point about climate change is a really good one, actually, and it might be worth thinking about that for jump racing, I think, through that particular perspective. And I also think maybe having a look at the pattern and whether below grade one level they should be handicaps.
Yeah, possibly. I'd have to study that a bit more in depth, Lydia, but Yeah, look, the Tingle Creek is still a standout race, but I used to always love going there, but primarily because I rode for Paul Nicholls, and he has an outstanding record in the race.
11 times, count him. Right, OK, let's move on to staying chasers, shall we? This is the final section that we're going to discuss, because a couple more of the key players in this division were in action at the weekend, and we'll start with a previous Gold Cup winner, a previous Welsh National winner, Native River.
Yeah, look, obviously this is one of the races that we were being asked about, the Low Sun, and they were gone quite a distance before they jumped the fence. But look, I thought Native River, to be fair to him, raced with a lot of enthusiasm. I know the lack of jumping seemed to affect Frodon. It did in the old Roan chase a couple of years ago. You'd have to say that was another lackluster performance there. Or maybe it's just entry doesn't suit Frodon, or whatever way you want to look at it. But look, I know Santini was very unimpressive in his first run last year in Sandown, but ultimately he got the job done. And I think he was the most lacklustre one there to me again. From so early on, Jerry McGrath never looked happy on him. Like, that's away from the stands on the first circuit and away from the back of the first fence, he's having to squeeze him along. I can understand the further you go in the race, the more you might have to wind the horse up. But very early in the race, you'd like them on their first run to be some bit enthusiastic with you early in the contest, and then being looking for stamina. But like, he gets his first smack behind the saddle, Santini, at the back of, well, ultimately it was the second last fence in the day, but it should have been the fifth last fence. I mean, that's a hell of a long way from home to be needing to get a slap behind the saddle. And you know, he gets up sides, Lakeview lad, passing the chair, and then just can't hang on. I mean, wanders in on top of him. I know it was a bit in and out, but it wasn't chicanes they were trying to go around either. They had plenty of time to make the manoeuvres they were making, and he got outstayed at the line. I don't know. I know he was second in last year's Gold Cup, but he's just a horse that looks such a hard ride to me, and is going to need so much luck in running to win the Gold Cup. I mean, his lack of tactical speed is what got him in the wrong places in last year's Gold Cup.
I floated with you in a previous programme the idea of going for more attention focusing headgear than cheek pieces, and a more assertive ride at Cheltenham, and we were trying to think about precedents, weren't we, and you raised Seymour Business.
Yeah, and to be the only thing I'd raise in Seymour Business is Seymour Business probably did show more gusto and speed as a younger horse than Santini has ever showed. Santini has always looked like a really strong stayer, but Seymour Business, he did, and look, he ultimately ended up with blinkers after running in the 98 King George, which sparked him into winning a Gold Cup the following March. Paul Nicholls always maintained that it was one of the best calls he made as a trainer. But will blinkers work on Santini? They might. Will Nicky Henderson wait until March to put them on? He probably will, if he's going to. But just, I don't envy Nico de Bonneville having to ride Santini. When you're trying to ride a horse that's as lethargic as him, it makes riding the race so difficult.
We'll see him and Native River and Lakeview Lad probably in the Cotswold Chase at the end of January, so that should be really interesting. We heard from Nicky Henderson on Saturday that Champ is now even more likely to be running in the Savills Chase, and that is really good news. He did highlight or reiterate that the horse has had an operation to correct his breeding in autumn, and that means that he is a little bit behind the other Grade 1 horses in his stable.
Yeah, I'm a bit surprised to hear that, actually. But the way he stormed up the hill in Cheltenham, he didn't look to me like he had anything wrong with his wind, but he mowed down Alaho and Manila Indo. All right, Alaho and Manila Indo got racing plenty far from home, and that probably presented the opportunity to Champ, but Leopardstown will suit him. I think it's great for Leopardstown that he's coming. It'll be a really good race. The Savills always is. It's a race Bobsworth won in the past. He's going to reface Manila Indo. You'll have presenting Percy, Delta or Kenboy, and God knows what else. It'll be a cracking contest. And yeah, I think it's great for Leopardstown that he's coming, and fair play to Connections for sending him.
Absolutely. Should really look forward to that. I look forward to the rematch with Manila Indo. Another horse that he might see there is Alaho. You've mentioned Tornado Flyer earlier in the show. Sam Crowe's got a 3-mile entry over Christmas as well. Where are we going to see those next?
I just listened to Brian Cooper. He thought Tornado Flyer had plenty of pace and could go back in trip if Willie Mullins wished. Alaho, he was disappointed in the John Durkin, but David Mullins reported he made a couple of mistakes, which would be unlike him. And Sam Crowe, Yeah, reading Davy Russell's comments about him yesterday, he feels like 3 miles really suit him. He's had a good break from his first run in Down Royal to Christmas, and I think his form is strongest when he's fresh. So he'll be another addition to the race. I think that has the making of a hell of a contest, Lydia.
Absolutely. It'll be fascinating to see what all of those horses do over Christmas. We'll be poring over it in future Road to Cheltenhams. If you need more Road to Cheltenham, go to racingtv.com/Road to Cheltenham. But for this week, that's it. From Ruby and from me, goodbye. Mm-hmm.